It's good that we serve a risen Savior. We appreciate His death. This was our singing portion, and we really see the effectiveness of that death because He rose from the dead. And resurrection is one of the most important things to a Christian. It is a foundational experience, foundational belief, foundational experience of every genuine Christian. In fact, in Romans, there's a little verse that talks about how to be saved. This is what it says. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah! That's right. You know what's crucial about salvation? What is the crucial thing to believe? God raised Jesus from the dead. This is the foundation. And it is an amazing thing that the Lord has done. You know, you can look at a lot of things that Jesus has done. And, you know, when He was on earth in His ministry, He ate with people. He taught. He displayed the love of God to people. And many things that you can look at Jesus' ministry, you can say, you know, even though He did it in a wonderful way, a marvelous way, you could say, you know, other people could do those things. They could teach. They could, have compassion for people. They could display love. They could interact in the way Jesus interacted. Eat with them, be kind to them, have disciples. But there's one thing that Jesus did that was absolutely, incredibly amazing. And that was, after He died on the cross, He was 3 days in the tomb, and He rose from the dead. And you could say, you know, a lot of people in the Bible rose from the dead. There's Lazarus, there's that person that, was thrown into Elisha's grave, and he, you know, hit his bones, and he resurrected, and he came out again. But the thing is, all of those people died again. Lazarus died again. He's not there. He's not here today. But it's almost like when Jesus did this, when He resurrected, He was never to die again. And it was something different than just coming back. I could call it, He entered into the realm, the sphere, the state of resurrection. And when you touch it, you've touched something amazing. It's uncommon. It's uncommon. And because Jesus is resurrected, our lives are really different. Our lives as believers are really different. And the Bible records in the 4 different Gospels this scene of His resurrection. And I'd like to read this scene in the Gospel of John. So if you follow with me in your program. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put Him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not recognize, she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. I like this. It was before the sun came up that Mary went to the tomb. And they saw that the stone was rolled away. It was a large stone. It was rolled away. And they looked in that tomb. You know, the disciples got there, Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, this is John. They got to the tomb. And they looked in there and they saw the strips of cloth around him lying there. And the face cloth was just put in a place separate from the others. It was almost like it was folded up. And when they saw that scene, they realized he's not here. But also, his clothes were there. And the face cloth was, as well as a cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. It was like Jesus just walked out of the grave and took the cloth that was over his face and just put it in a place. Put it in place. Put it in an order. And the disciples saw that, Peter and John. And you know what they did? They went back to where they were staying. They went back to where they were staying. And I'd like to contrast these disciples going back to where they were staying with Mary. Look at verse 11 with me. Look at 10 and 11. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. And look at Mary. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. If you look for a picture of how to experience the resurrected Christ, look at this scene. Look at this scene. The fact that he's resurrected is amazing. It's wonderful. But just to have the resurrection be the resurrection and us be us separated is not good enough. We appreciate his resurrection. But look at Mary. She stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. The disciples went back. Mary stood, lingering. Because she stood lingering, because she stayed there, she had the experience of this next scene. She saw two angels, had a conversation with them. And she asks, and she tells them, they have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him. There was a certain kind of yearning in Mary. If you want to experience Jesus in resurrection, there's a certain kind of lingering, a certain kind of yearning that Mary exemplifies in this scene. She turned around and saw this man. She thought he was a gardener. And again, still, there was a seeking in him, in her. The gardener asked, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." On Mary's side, there was just this, I just need to touch Jesus, to find Jesus. There was a thought, I need to, I know his body is there, and I just want to find him. And let me tell you, Jesus in resurrection is marvelous. And when you touch him and experience him in resurrection, he's wonderful. And we'll get into some of those things. There's peace, there's the Spirit, there's joy. But before you get into any one of those experiences, think about Mary. The disciples came to the tomb. Oh yeah, he's resurrected. Okay, let's change the channel. Boop, boop, boop. Disciples came to the tomb. Okay, he's resurrected. Let's go home. Mary's just like, I want to see him. I want to touch him. Even with tears. And she sees angels. It's almost like, it's an angel. Angel, can you tell me where my Lord is? See a gardener. I want to know where you've laid him. And there's just this kind of desire on her side. I want to see Christ. I want to see my Lord. You know, I want to be Mary. I want to be Mary, just like this. Lay the busyness aside. Lay aside the hustle and bustle and just say, I just want to meet the Lord. And look at this. Look at verse 17. She finally meets him. And 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. Mary. I like the whole interaction. Mary's here crying, seeking for the Lord. And then the Lord says, James. Stephen. Bryce. Zane. Laura. Anna. The Lord said her name. And if you look at resurrection and how the disciples were made aware of the resurrection, it's almost like very few believed based on another's word. Most of the times they had to see him. We'll see with Thomas. Unless I put my fingers in his side and fingers in the wounds in his hands, I won't believe. The resurrection demands, experiencing the Lord in resurrection demands a personal thing. I'm seeking him, and then all of a sudden, he says, Emily. Emily. And as soon as he said, Rex. You know, oh, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. It's not a group thing. It is a personal thing where on Mary's side there are tears and almost like whoever she sees an angel. I don't care if it's an angel. Tell me where my Lord is. If it's a gardener, you know, I'm not interested in finding out about your day. I just want to know where the Lord is. And then the Lord says, Felicia. This is an opening to experience the Lord in resurrection. And she was trying to cling to Him. And you know what He said? Don't hold on to me. Don't hold on to me. For I have not yet ascended to the Father. I have not yet ascended to the Father. You know, if you look at this, it's like, what does that mean? I have not yet ascended to the Father. Don't cling on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. It's like He was going to the Father in kind of a special ascension to the Father. He was the resurrected one and the first fruits of resurrection, the first one who was risen from the dead to never die anymore. And He was going to the Father, ascending to the Father, and in process of that ascension, you know who saw Him? Mary. It was a personal, very private, very intimate experience of the resurrection of the resurrected Christ. Don't touch me. I haven't gone to the Father. But go tell my brothers. I like that. Go tell my brothers. And we're just going to look at, for the rest of the time, we'll just look at what Jesus said in resurrection. Look at that. He says, go tell my brothers. Go instead to my brothers. Tell them. Tell them. You know, Jesus never used this word before. He never went to Peter and said, you know, when he was, Peter was one of, you know, the 12 disciples. He never said, hi, brother. He never called him a brother. Not until resurrection. And at resurrection, this is a little window into what kind of thing changed. It was a very spiritual thing, a very profound thing. We're not just celebrating the fact that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He broke through death. He, you know, had a victory over that. But there was a change happened. Now, Jesus says, my brothers. My brothers. My brothers. Yeah, that's right. I agree, Dick. That's a big thing. My brothers. What's that mean? Now, we're a part of the same family. We're a part of the same family. You know what the resurrection did? It not only gave a testimony of coming out of death, but spiritually, it made us part of the same family. So when you see resurrected Christ, when you see the Jesus in resurrection, you see something like this. My brother, he's so close. There's a good song. It says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. And then the chorus of that song is, He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You know, the Christ in resurrection is not far off. He is really close. He's my brother. Go tell my brothers. And my God, I ascend to my God and your God. My Father and your Father. It means He's a man just like us, still in resurrection. He's still a human being. He has His God. He has His Father. And we are human beings also. And we're His brothers. We're so close to Him. So close to Him. Well, Mary goes back, reports these things. And Jesus, what Jesus does for the rest of the day is not recorded, but on the evening of that first day of the week, in verse 19, I'll read this to you. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This was the first the disciples saw Jesus in resurrection. First time. They heard a report from Mary, but it was the first time they saw. They were in a locked room, and Jesus appeared in their midst. And the first thing that Jesus says, and he says it twice, "Peace, peace, peace be to you. Peace be to you." And you wonder, what is it like to have the Christ in resurrected, to have Christ raised from the dead, to have Christ resurrected, to know Him? Let me tell you, the first thing that you realize is peace. Peace. Peace be to you. It's almost like this. The worst thing that can happen to you is death. The worst thing. It's the most extreme thing. There's a fear of death in a lot of people. A lot of people are afraid of death. And this is what happened with Jesus. He conquered it. He conquered that worst thing. And it's almost like the most extreme thing has been conquered. He's victorious over it. And what can He give you now? Peace. And there's a certain sense when you're in the presence of the Lord, I'm just restful. I'm peaceful. Sometimes it's even hard to fall asleep at night. You wake up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., full of anxiety. A little presence of the Lord. A little touch of Jesus in resurrection. It's a sense of, "Lord, you can conquer this. Lord, you're victorious over this." What did he say when he saw the disciples? Peace. Next thing he said. "Peace be with you." Showed them his hands. Again, Jesus said, this is verse 21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." He said, just like the Father sent me, just like the Father sent me and commissioned me and caused me to go forth to testify of His love, testify of His person, just like that, I am sending you. I'm sending you. I send you. I am sending you. If you look at a person who knows Jesus in resurrection, they have two things. Number one, peace. Number two, they're sent by God. Sent. Sent where? Into your office? Into your workplace? Into your school? Into your family? Into the world? Into Cleveland Heights? And you say, how can I do that? Where do I get the energy to do that? How do I carry that sending out? It's very simple. there is the Lord, and He is in resurrection. He is in resurrection. Next thing He did, He said, okay, number one, or next thing He did, He just did something like this. I don't know what it looks like. Somehow, He breathed into them. Breathed into them. Breathed into them. Maybe He blew air like that. Maybe it was something else. But it says, and with that, He breathed on them. Breathed on them. And said, receive the Holy Spirit. You know what else happens because Christ's resurrection? By virtue of this resurrection, we receive the Holy Spirit. We can receive the Holy Spirit. Before, during His time of ministry on the earth, He was with His disciples, and sometimes He said, you know, I have a lot more things to say to you, but you cannot receive them now. But when He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of reality comes, He will reveal these things to you. So it's almost like there was Jesus there, and there was the disciples there, and somehow they couldn't quite understand Jesus. Because why? They couldn't have the Holy Spirit in them, received by them. And in resurrection, things were different. It was different now. He would just say, He breathed on them. And He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And there's something about having the Holy Spirit. There's something about it. You have the Spirit, it's life. You have the Spirit, there's the verse, the Spirit gives life. You have the Holy Spirit, there's another verse, the Spirit is the reality. You have the Holy Spirit, there's another verse, the Lord is the Spirit. When we have the Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit, because Christ resurrected, you just sense the Lord is here. He's with me. I know Him. I know Him. And it's really similar to trying, a person with the Spirit just knows, I know, I've tasted the Lord Jesus. I've tasted Him. I've tasted Him. The Holy Spirit makes Christ real to you. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you know the Lord inside. You know, I was with somebody. I've been with this person for years. Years. We read the Bible together. We pray together. And there's something in his life that is, you know, not quite right. Not quite right. And I've talked to him about it. I've tried to talk to him about it. This is something that is sinful, not quite right. And when I talk to him about it, it's just kind of like this, just going over his head. And we keep reading the Bible together, pray a little bit together. And suddenly, one day, there was this realization in him. You know, I've got to get my life right. And, okay, I talked to him about it, but that was years ago. I don't think he just remembered, all of a sudden, my words. You know what was working in him? The Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit works in a person, it is really powerful. Do you know what Christ in resurrection does? Christ in resurrection breathes into you. And you say, receive, and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, it's not like this. God is God. Christ is Christ over there. I am who I am. We're separate. No. Now He is right inside of you. And you taste it. And when you taste it, you realize, this is so good. It's heavenly. It's divine. It is something ascendant. It is something, you know, Christ is something victorious. What? I have received the Holy Spirit. Tasted him. When did that happen? It happened after Christ was resurrected. I'll just end with this last little story. I like Thomas. I'm glad he's there. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. I don't know. He missed the meeting somehow. I don't know if he was busy or why he wasn't there. I don't know. Maybe he was too scared, to come back into the city. We don't know. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Isn't this simply amazing? Okay, if the Apostle Peter came to me and said, "Rex, I have seen the Lord," you know what I would do? I would say, like, "Hey, you're Peter. I'm just going to go with it." Okay, but here he has 11. No, 10. Sorry, 10. 10 disciples. And they were all saying, "We saw the Lord. We saw him. We saw the nails, the nail marks in his hand, in his side. He said, 'Peace.' He sent us. He breathed into us. We have the Spirit now. Isn't this marvelous?" And you look at Thomas, what a hard head. You know his response to that? "Well, you had a pretty good meeting. But you could all be wrong. So, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Interesting. This is interesting until I start to know a little bit more about who I am and who people are. Because you could be surrounded by people that say, "The Lord did this." And they're like, unless I. So, I really like this. A week later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said again, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." I like it. Thomas had this kind of thought, "Unless this happens, I will not believe." And Jesus just went with it. He didn't say, "No, you don't need that silly stuff." What Jesus said is, "Here, bring your finger here. Put it into my wound. Bring your finger here. Put it into my side." Thomas had, again, a personal experience. A personal experience. And then he says, "My Lord and my God." Experiencing knowing him as the resurrected Christ, it's a personal thing. You've got to have Jesus with you. Say your name. "Charles. Betty." And you're like, "Oh, okay, my eyes are open." And you hear about it, the 10 that were in the room. They had to see him personally. He said personally to them, "Peace be to you." Personally to them, breathed on them. Oh, that's really personal. If someone breathes on you, that is a very personal experience. Thomas himself had to put his fingers in his hands, in his side. And then he's like, I got it. And when you touch him like this, you realize Christ in resurrection is my peace. Christ in resurrection is why I can be sent. And why, after I tell somebody about Jesus and they don't believe, why I will tell the next person about Jesus. Why is that? Because there's Christ in resurrection. He's my power. He's my way. He's my purpose. Christ in resurrection is the reason I can experience the Holy Spirit. I call him a brother. I just feel so close to the Lord. Well, my prayer, as you know, we're remembering the resurrection of the Lord. My prayer is that we would all have a lot of experiences of this aspect of Christ, where we would hear Christ himself say, Delvon, your eyes are open, and you go deeper in him. Where we would see him spiritually, because, you know, Jesus tells us, don't everyone look for Thomas experiences, you know. Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. But we experience him personally. We don't physically see him, need to see him, but we experience him personally. And we realize, Lord, I'm just so close to you. Why? Because you are in resurrection. So I'll end there, and let's just have some prayer. Just thank the Lord for rising again and appearing to us. And being so present and so real to us.